Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on In the Loop with Lopez, Figgy, and myself, Reggie. We begin with some news that happened earlier in the day. The Saints, maybe years late, but they do get it done. Dennis Allen has been relieved of his duty. That is a Saints team that, after winning their first two games, have lost seven straight, capped off by a loss to none other than Bryce Young and the Carolina
Panthers.
You know your team is in a bad place when, as soon as a team loses to you, they're like, all right, we got to get the coach out of here.
No, that's it. That's why he was fired. You're losing to Bryce Young and the Panthers? Yeah, that's enough. I've seen everything I need to see.
Yeah, and in doing that, the Saints outgained Carolina by over 150 yards and won the turnover battle. And over the last 20 years, a team that has done that was 275-0. Now they're 275-1. Shout out to Bill Barnwell for that stat. But
that's
a sign. What was that stat again?
So a team that outgained their opponent by 150 plus yards and won the turnover battle had won the game
275-0.
Yeah, you got to go.
You've got to go.
You got to go. You've
got to go.
The
276th team, they lost. Yeah. And that was the New Orleans Saints just yesterday.
Man, and the Saints are just... See, here's the other part, and we've talked about this a little bit here and there. Like, there's no future. Like, the future is mortgaged. Talk about mortgaging the future. Salaries, quarterback, just all of it. With the Saints right now. And Derek Carr, by the way, I saw somebody mention this during the highlights, and this is exactly what it was. Throwing that hospital ball across the middle.
Well, yeah, there's a little contention on whether or not it was a hospital ball, but ultimately Chris Olave leaves the game with a concussion in that one because, he had one of those situations where the ball was out there, he catches it, and immediately gets into just a really tough, nasty hit. And he's down on the turf. Michael Thomas, former Saints wide receiver, took umbrage with that, and maybe there might have been more involved here as well. Mm-hmm. But he went on a little bit of a what are we calling these? A rant, tirade. I don't know. I always feel weird.
Twitter rant.
Because sometimes people are like, "Oh, that's a Twitter rant." I was like, "That was just a thread. They just had some things to say." This one definitely felt a little bit more a little bit more like a tirade or a rant or whatever. And I'll read verbatim. This is five tweets in quick succession. Derek Carr for you. I've been told y'all. Bleep sad. Second tweet. Dude scary and panic just to throw the ball. Get him the F out of here. He's so ass. Next tweet.
He's so ass.
That year his buddy went first team all pro in 2022. He needed 180 targets just to catch 100 passes. He's ass. All my granny. which that means it's serious. Yeah. He's going to put it on his granny. Fourth tweet. Dude tried to lie and say I was jealous of them making Chris number one wide receiver. Whole time, he can't even get him a decent ball. He need his ass whooped. Fifth tweet and final tweet. They fired all them coaches trying to cover his flaws up. He's still doing the same bleep.
Yeah.
So safe to say, Michael Thomas, not a big fan.
Not a big fan.
Of Derek Carr as quarterback.
How wrong was he?
That's the tough part.
He wasn't wrong.
Yeah, I think Chris Olave's, I don't know if his pops, somebody weighed in on the tweet too.
Yeah. It was like, yep. they definitely liked it or something to that effect. I can't remember exactly what, but I remember exactly. Yeah. I remember that did happen. That
I think
someone attached to Olave was in agreement with Michael Thomas's assumption or assessment of the situation. So yeah, Michael Thomas, he has had some like kind of bitterness in that organization and around there. Like, so you wonder if any of that factors in. But you're right. Like, most of what he's saying here, these are the things that I would have as criticisms of Derek Carr, is that he has the arm talent. But there's been like a decided lack of aggression. You could call it being scared that he has exhibited in playing quarterback. And that sometimes leads to you throwing a football out there and not taking a hit or not, you know, or trading your personal safety for a lack of safety of your wide receivers because you're throwing it out there in a place where they can get hurt.
And speaking of stats, Figgy, this is the one that stood out to me. And he might even get it done. Derek Carr, now that he lost to the Panthers, has lost to 31 NFL teams. There are 32 NFL teams. He's lost to 31. And they play the Raiders at the in week 17. That's the only team he hasn't lost to.
Yeah, the Raiders are selling, though. That's a team that is all the way in the pit.
I got confidence in Derek Carr. Hey,
I would not be surprised if he loses to them.
Can you imagine losing as a starting quarterback to every team in the NFL?
I know the boys on the morning show, Seth and Sean, were talking about it. It's kind of impressive, though, to like be good enough to that a team is not going to go away from you as you have an opportunity to play. Because you don't play every team every year, right? It takes a time to be able to accumulate. And in theory, you're not just losing to every team that you play. So like, it takes a lot of time and a lot of snaps.
You got
to
be really good at it.
Yeah. Like, he's been a starting quarterback for a long time, man. Yeah. And say what you want about him, you either like him or you don't.
Yeah.
Well, but this is the thing about Derek Carr. Like, as a football player, you either like him or you don't. Hey, this was his response to the Michael Thomas tweets. And he gets to a little bit of like how people generally like him, and he's not wrong about that.
I have love for Mike. When he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously. You know, I've had so many teammates over the years, and he's like the one dude that didn't get along with me, you know. And I don't know what I did to him. I don't know why he feels that way. I'm sorry, you know, for whatever he's dealing with to make him feel like he's got to do that. I don't know, you know. But he's never called me during any of this. My phone number has never changed. I've in fact called him on different occasions. It's something I just would never do to a teammate, you know, because it was single high. The ball went to where we talked about it going, and Chris got hit in the head. Unfortunately, that happens in our game, and I would never do it on purpose. I didn't throw him into a bad, you know, look. You know, it wasn't a different coverage where that guy was just, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when it comes to the football aspect of it, I really don't have an answer for it.
I mean, that was a sound explanation, but the fact that Derek Carr has done this in the past, and Derek Carr has alienated and, you know, some players in the past, I don't know what he was talking about. There have been other players that have, you know, sort of questioned, you know, past, usually they're analysts or whatever, questioned some of the things that he's done. But it's, as we started this, it's an absolute mess in New Orleans.
It is.
Now and moving forward.
And he's not wrong. Like, Derek Carr seems to be like a really solid dude. Mm-hmm. Like, as a human being, players seem to like him. However, that explanation, you said it sounds solid. Yeah, I don't know that I love it as like the actual pass wise.
No,
and
exactly.
That's the thing that will ultimately get you hemmed up. Like, you could be a great dude, but if the production is not there, especially if you ended up getting people hurt, I imagine that that's not going
to
go well.
Yeah, and then the way he explained all it, he tried to make Michael Thomas sound like he a crazy man.
Yeah, he did.
Like, whatever things he got going on, it's out of his brain pretty much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know about that.
And the Saints have a job opening. And a lot of people are mentioning our friend Aaron Glenn. Why the hell would Aaron Glenn want to go to the New Orleans? I know he played there. I know he coached there.
That's the
there.
Only reason why. They're probably looking at Houston.
That's not what like, they look at. They look at what's the first thing a prospective head coach looks at? The roster. Can I win there? And that roster is upside down in terms of salary, upside down in terms of talent and future.
That go way back from Sean Payton.
Yeah.
But they've managed to keep doing things, and so something in me goes, they'll just find a way to circumvent all of this. But yeah, that's not a good spot. Now, obviously, I think the Texans have to, and a lot of Texans fans are operating as scavengers whenever a team shows a level of being bad. Everybody goes, oh, do they have something that we can take? I think the only offensive line wise, there's not anything I think of great benefit there that I think you could go and get. Marshawn Lattimore, supposedly, a possible, trade, target. Yeah. I don't know that is the level of cornerback that you would be willing or be able to kind of get.
No, but I do think, kind of what we talked about a little while ago, I think this is why the trade deadline moving back is such a good thing. Whether, there might be, but it's not just the Saints. There's a lot of teams that are in the same boat they see the writing on the wall and they can maybe deal.
So speaking of the trade deadline, I saw an interesting piece from Schefter a few days ago. Now, the Commanders, they got a win, and they are 7-2 for the first time since 1996. Just a real highlight as to where Washington is. However, yeah. Schefter wrote a story about players seeking to end up in Washington. So apparently, according to Adam Schefter and his sources, which is kind of where I want to go with this conversation, players are trying to wind up in Washington and play for the Commanders. Now, some of this, I imagine, Dan Quinn seems to be big-time players coach that players love playing for. Mm-hmm. But some of this has to be the idea that they have figured something out organizationally and they have a lot of nice young talent. Or I guess they've added some veterans on the cheap, but they have a nice group of guys coming together. Do you, one, believe that there are players clamoring to go to Washington? And two, who does it benefit to have this story leaked? Like, who are we getting this information from, Lopez?
Well, it's clearly from the Commanders. But I do believe it because of Daniels and because of what they can do there. It's just like the coaching thing. Coaches look at the roster. Players look at what's the quarterback that can help me win? Help us win or whatever. No, I do believe it.
Yeah, I found that to be real interesting that you had a story of that was that particular.
It was planted, but still, it's
very
true.
Planted. I was like, all right, we're mere days away from the trade deadline, which if you don't know, again, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central is when the deadline hits. Mm-hmm. And it really was a story that solely, the only thing about it was players really do love wanting to get to Washington. And I was like, that's the whole idea of the story, huh?
Yeah.
And that really was it. We mentioned one coach getting fired. How about some other ones? The Raiders, who, in a bad way, they fired offensive coordinator Luke Getsy after 9 games. And in addition, fired his offensive line coach and a quarterback coach, both of whom were in their very first season with the Raiders. And this is because they're on their first 5-game losing streak, rather, since 2018, and are tied for the worst record in the NFL.
So let's go through the list again. Offensive coordinator.
Correct.
Quarterbacks coach.
That's right.
And what was the other one?
Offensive line coach.
Huh. that's a sign, isn't it? That's a sign when you're that's a sign of desperation, a sign of the walls sort of closing in on you. I would not feel very comfortable if I was coaching for the Raiders.
No. Yeah. You shouldn't.
No.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably shouldn't even got that job, to be honest, man. He came in as an interim coach.
Oh, you're talking about,
Antonio Pierce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's always kind of iffy, seeing somebody.
It's a sign.
Rile up the team the last couple games of the year.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time that the interim came in and it was a good hire? Like, the problem with, this is always the problem with hiring the interim. The interim is there to kind of just be a caretaker. Mm-hmm. And you get a little something good, and you just let the good vibes get in the way.
Wasn't Dennis Allen an interim too?
Dennis Allen was also the interim.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
Who did he take over for?
The head coach of the Sean Broncos, Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was previously the defensive coordinator under Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they were hey, yeah, you'll take over. And then they just kept it. I guess technically he wasn't termed as an interim because that happened in the offseason.
Oh, okay.
But they were just like,
the next guy in the room.
Yeah.
It felt very much the hiring process of an interim where they're just like, who's in the room? Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
He managed to get
You got the same thing going on in New England, too.
Well, so, Gerard Mayo, felt a little bit different because it felt like for a while that he was kind of being groomed to be the next head coach, as opposed to Dennis Allen. That felt a lot more like, well, you hear. Yeah. But regardless,
like I said, next guy in the room.
Next guy in the room. Yeah. And when it comes to future opponents of your Texans, yes, mm-hmm. the Lions play well, and you'll have them next Sunday here at NRG Stadium. And then after that, you'll be traveling to Dallas to face off against a Cowboys team that looks like they are not only they're beaten and bruised, both metaphysically and physically. they lose to the Falcons. And it was really embarrassing, 27-21, and I don't think that it was really as close as the score seems to indicate. However, Dak Prescott leaves that game with a hamstring, and then CeeDee Lamb is going to have a MRI on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. They're still, Micah Parsons didn't play in that game. Deron Bland, one of their cornerbacks, didn't play in that game. They're still missing their other pass rusher. Yep. Like, they are really beaten and bruised, and now the quarterback and their best offensive player are also in a space where injury report is going to be, is going to see their name quite a bit this
week.
Well,
let's ask Dak Prescott what he thinks of their team. Because he made it pretty clear on the sidelines.
Yeah, I believe the lip reading experts that seem was not to even, believe.
I don't read lips. That was pretty obvious.
That he said, "We bleeping suck.
We bleeping suck."
At least the man being honest.
What? That was
sometimes
awesome.
You got to be honest, man.
He just turned to the guy. And it was so matter of fact. He just kind of casually turned to the dude and said, "We bleeping suck."
Seth, that's where the Dallas Cowboys are.
Yeah.
So hopefully that at least guarantees one win of this run of primetime games. Yeah. Because unfortunately you lost on Thursday, and it's going to be a tough one on Sunday Night Football against the Lions coming up. But yeah, that's Around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. If you got extra game day tickets, turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Down fans looking for seats. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, we're going to do a little segment that I like to call Judge John Lopez. Let's have John determine if these things that happen in the sports world this weekend, who is the winner, or who is in the right, rather. Is it the player or is it the other people? We'll talk about it next.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on this Reaction Monday. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Always get involved with the program by hitting us up on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Thanks to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. On that very fan line, someone asked said that you talk about the trade deadline moves earlier. Seems like the Browns have everything this team needs offensively and defensively, guard, cornerback, or safety. Yeah, that could be a possibility. I don't know how willing they are still to make moves, though. That's the interesting part, is how much are they willing to be sellers in that way? Because Newsom at cornerback is one of those guys that's really intriguing, obviously. I know that people have been looking at, we mentioned Wyatt Teller earlier, who's mm-hmm. a Browns lineman. Also, Betonio is one of those names that always comes up as a veteran, savvy guy who you know can step in on an offensive line and produce. So that's a possibility. We're chugging along just over, 26, 27 hours?
Something like that.
Till trade deadline. So I imagine Nick Cassero and the rest of the front office really plugging at it to make sure that they're ready for the deadline. They did a little bit of work today, but nothing I imagine or I hope that's going to make a big deal for this team, as Jerome Carvin was signed to the practice squad. He mm-hmm. is a guard-center kind of combo guy. 24 years old, 6'5", 307, but I can't find a single snap that he's played in this league yet. So
that's not the move we're talking about.
I sure hope not.
Yeah.
Because there is a thought among some that it's possible that might be something that's an indicator where they're just adding another guard to fill that spot on the roster. Maybe not on the 53 man, but to have another guard to go to if you need to, and then it's next man up. That would be very disappointing if that was the case.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they play this, just in terms of the next however many hours, because we've talked about it. I'm firmly convinced they have to do something. I don't think that's it, though.
Okay, so we're keeping an eye out. I hadn't even considered the idea that maybe we could get news today, because, I mean, look, nothing says that you can't make trades before the deadline hits. But it really does feel like if we get news, it'll probably start happening tomorrow. But only God knows. We'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for that. All right. You got your robe. You ready to put that on?
Yeah, man. I got my gavel. Got my robe. I watched about 3 episodes of The Lincoln Lawyer over the weekend. So
I thought you were going to say Night Court.
I'm good. Or Night Court.
I thought you were going to say People's Court.
People's Court.
Ah,
whatever.
People's Court.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some interesting happenings that could possibly have legal bents to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being the case, you are now in the court of the honorable, or maybe dishonorable.
Well, maybe not honorable.
Maybe dishonorable.
Yeah.
If his wife has anything to say
exactly.
about it.
Exactly.
Judge John Lopez.
Let's go.
All right. We bring to you the case of Heckler v. Jason Kelce. So Jason Kelce was involved in an incident with an unruly fan who was using homophobic slurs to describe his brother. So he was in Pennsylvania on Saturday for the Big Ten showdown between Ohio State, Penn State, in which Penn State showed their keister once again. And Ohio
State get to that.
Was able to get away with a win 20-13. Social media footage showed Jason Kelce carrying a case of beers as he walked through a crowd near Beaver Stadium, as one would expect.
Yeah.
Several fans asked Kelce for selfies and fist bumps before one fan started heckling Kelce. He was moving. He might have had somewhere to be. He looked like he was walking with purpose. A male fan dressed in a Penn State hoodie unleashed these slurs, the F word, toward Kelce's family as he trailed behind him, recording him. And said, "Hey, Kelce, how does it feel that your brother is a bleep for dating Taylor Swift?" Which, first of all, I don't think that's how that word works. Right? Like, I'm not sure if you understand how it means, what it means, or what have you.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works. However, that was what was lobbied at him. In response, one Jason Kelce turned around, grabbed the fan's phone, and spiked it into the ground as if he was Rob Gronkowski. Before picking up the phone and continuing to walk. Another video shared on social media showed the unruly fan chasing Kelce and asking for his cell phone, saying, "Give me my phone," before Kelce replied to him, "Who's the bleep now?" So he did return. He returned the word, the slur. Honorable, or actually the dishonorable John Lopez.
Somewhat
Judge John
occasionally
Lopez.
Honorable, occasionally not.
Whose favor do you rule in?
I feel like this was stand your ground. This is a football family version of standing your ground. This is bleep around and find out, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would have to imagine so.
Right?
Yeah.
This is exactly what that is. Now, look, you know, we all know, by the way, if you're wondering what word, it was the F word, but not that one. All right?
So, yeah, it's an anti-gay slur.
Yes. Which, you know, maybe he should have had a little more discretion with his retort, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to rule in favor of... He actually was somewhat restrained just breaking the dude's phone. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that dude, you come at my family, my brother, and everything else like that, and chasing, you know, like literally picking a fight almost. I thought that was somewhat restrained. Restrained.
Yeah. That's the thing for me.
Yeah. I had no sympathy for that guy
None.
That was doing that, man.
None.
Like, nah, you was... That was ignorant.
Yeah.
Like, dog, why is you doing... You clearly doing this for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got some
and
attention.
And had the camera going.
Yeah. So my favorite phrase is, play stupid games, win stupid prize. Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that about this for me is that it felt emblematic of a larger issue that we have with folks just feeling like they can run up and accost folks. And I know a lot of this has also been... further pushed by dudes doing social media, and not just dudes, but it feels like a lot of them is dudes.
Yeah.
But folks doing social media type things where they're doing pranks or something at other people's expense, or just like trolling folks to get the reaction and then record it. Hey, man, I felt like there was a time in America, not that I am being full Joe Mazzulla, where that lesson of, hey, you're not supposed to just be running up and accosting people was taught by you getting tapped on your chin, right? Like, yeah. But people seem to have no fear of that happening. And so, yeah, if he had tapped him on the chin, I'd have been like, that's kind of what typically happens to teach you the lesson that you don't just go up accosting people out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And this is before we even get to the idea of like him, you know, bashing his family or whatever. Just like, get out that man's face in the first place.
And I'm with you. Like, what did Taylor Swift have to do with anything here? Like, that's his brother. Yeah. You know?
He just wanted to rise out of him.
Yeah. I think this is, to me, Figgy, this was also like someone who wanted to sue someone. Like, he wanted Jason Kelce to punch him.
It was bait.
He was baiting him.
Yeah, and a special F off to TMZ, by the way, for tweeting this headline. New graphic video shows Jason Kelce using the F slur multiple times in rage. Click here to read more.
Yeah, what was the circumstance?
Yeah, so I'm glad the community notes pretty much got on him about that headline.
Yeah, so case closed. He it was a stand your ground football essence, kind of stand your ground.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And on top of that, this is a great point that comes in on the text line, or the 5 Hour Energy fan line, I should say. Dude is a Hall of Fame NFL lineman, which is basically a professional bear wrestler. That's a good point. Like, why are you out here antagonizing him? Like, I believe that you and the decorum that you believe you have to have by being a public celebrity.
Some people are nuts, man.
They're not only nuts, but I think he wanted a 6-figure settlement and was willing to sacrifice his jaw.
Thankfully for him, all he has to do is buy another maybe $1,000 phone. Mm-hmm. That's probably about it. All right, we move on to the next case. The case of Joel Embiid versus columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
In this case, Joel Embiid was involved in an altercation with a Philadelphia columnist in the locker room after the Sixers lost to the Memphis Grizzlies on Saturday night, apparently shouting at the journalist and eventually pushing him.
Yeah.
The Sixers said that they were aware of the incident and what have you. So the journalist, or the columnist, Marcus Hayes, has a column for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And in his most recent column, he mentioned Joel Embiid's son and late brother. So his son is named after his late brother, Arthur. And he mentioned them while questioning Embiid's professionalism. Basically, to make it short, the piece that I saw was like, Joel says that he plays for his brother, his late brother, and his son. But if he wants, like, if he was really giving the right effort, that they'll want, so on and so forth, right? Basically, using that as a cudgel in a way. Joel Embiid took great offense to this. Apparently, as soon as reporters entered the locker room, Joel Embiid stood and confronted Hayes, saying, the next time you bring up my dead brother and my son again, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you, and I'm going to have to live with the consequences. He said that's not apparently Hayes offered an apology, to which Embiid responded, that's not the effing first time.
Yeah.
And eventually actually pushed him. PR people for the Sixers apparently then went to reporters and tried to get them to not publish this.
Mm-hmm.
At which point Embiid yelled out, they can do whatever they want. I don't give a bleep.
Yeah.
So with all of this being the case, who is in the right or the wrong here? Is it Joel Embiid physically pushing a reporter, a columnist, and confronting them? Or is it the columnist himself?
All right, so this is a complicated one, right?
Ooh.
This is a complicated one. I think that columnist was way over the line. Like, way, way, way over the line. Certainly, you know, his right to write whatever he wants. But I think this is a reflection of, like, being affected by what you're seeing on social media, where there are no filters and people can say whatever they want. And he just sort of got... He felt like, oh, I can say that in a column. No, you can't. Like, there are lines. There are lines that you should not cross. And to connect his brother and his kid to his play, over the line. That is absolutely over the line. And he should have known better, but I think he got swept up in like, well, they say this on social media, so I can say it in a column. No, you are a paper of record. You are, you know, a news outlet of record. You got to hold yourself to a higher standard. There's other ways to talk about Joel Embiid's play, you know, than bringing that up. So he is at fault there. The one thing that Embiid should never, he should have absolutely, if he felt like it, confronted him. He said, this is over the line.
That's the old newspaper rule anyways. You write something about him, you show up the next day.
Yeah. Show up the next day. You know, talk it out, have a disagreement, reach an agreement, an accord, or whatever you want to call it, but just don't put your hands on someone. So that's where Embiid was, that's where, because he wasn't challenging him physically. He was just a moron for writing that. So that's where Embiid maybe crossed the line as well.
A small thing, because I think you covered it well, a small thing within this as well. It's kind of amazing how matter-of-factly and how almost as like a side detail it has been put out there that the Sixers PRs tried to stop that story from getting out there. I'm like, wait, hold on.
You can't do that.
We're going to just pretend like that's commonplace, which is a shame because it feels like maybe that is more commonplace than we care to give it credit for. But yes, all the way around. I immediately was like, yeah, Joel Embiid, I understand the fire and the passion there.
The worst of them all, I'm glad you brought it up, was the Sixers PR staff. Like
the worst, really?
Well, because
I thought the editors should have played in here.
Oh,
right?
No, like, for sure. The editors should have corrected him. But what I'm saying is to go there when the locker room, once you allow the media in, is on the record. So you can't say, it's on the record once the locker room is open and you're having these discussions and interviews and such. So to say, can y'all not print that? That's just dumb. But this was, I'm embarrassed for the columnist, Marcus Hayes. Should have known better. Should have never gone there and written that. So this is going to be a complex judgment here. I think we're going to put Joel Embiid on probation for putting his hands on that guy, but we are certainly, let's say, sensitive to why he did it.
So is it a mistrial, the 832S?
Not a mistrial. I think it's just a lesser penalty.
Okay.
Yeah. Give Joel a fine.
Yeah, give him a fine, a little probation.
Yeah, community work or something like that.
Yeah, a little ankle bracelet.
All right, well, that's a lot. That's pretty far.
I don't know about the ankle bracelet, but have him do like maybe 24 hours of community service.
All right, we'll go there. Yeah, we'll do that. How do you feel about this? Because you're in the same vein.
Yeah, I was amazed that the story got published.
You can't write that, man.
Like, as an individual, you got it. But I think also this points to the devolution of our media space, because I do wonder if there was a specific sports editor. Sports editors are supposed to know kind of the rules, right? I wonder if this went to a general news editor, like just a general editor desk, because companies are really consolidating where they're like, we don't need specialized editors. Yeah. But you do in this moment. Because I think a regular editor is like, okay, all of this looks fine.
No.
It's composed well enough and there's not typos or whatever. Fine, send it off.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody should have been another level of, hey, recognize that getting after people's family is a bridge too far. That's something that we have long held as something that you're not supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my thing is, if you brave enough to feel like you can write something like that, you got to stand tall, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be ready just in case somebody come at you.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I never attack anybody personally on social media, because they'll catch you off guard, man. They'll step to you, man. And you can't get mad at how they react.
Yeah.
But I don't think Joel should react that way. But you can't control people, man. Like, watch what you say.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go. The court of the dishonorable John Lopez, Judge John Lopez, is now out of session. Thank you for joining us here on the In the Loop Court on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including an accolade for now free agent Alex Bregman. What will that affect? And we'll talk about some other things next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 on this Reaction Monday. But thankfully, we don't have to react to the Texans game because that happened last week. And it's done and dusted. The fallout of it is still affecting this team. And that's why everybody is looking so much towards tomorrow. If you're wondering what tomorrow is, I guess technically it is election day, but more importantly for you Houston Texans, it's trade deadline day. The deadline hits at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, and so there's a few things on the table that I think a lot of us are looking for. Obviously, offensive line help is one of those, maybe cornerback. Some people are still in the market for a wide receiver in their estimations, but some of those things are what could possibly be coming down the pike for your Houston Texans on deadline day?
Tomorrow's election day?
A word?
It is.
It's trade deadline.
That ends the entirety of our coverage of the 2024 election. Although
that's tomorrow?
Unfortunately, I imagine you'll still hear campaign ads.
Hey, text messages been coming strong the last couple of days, man.
Yeah, they have.
I was getting something from Atlanta for some reason.
Atlanta?
Yeah. And then the funny thing is they kept saying, hey, Reginald, make sure you vote. I'm like, wait, what?
It wasn't me, I swear.
It was something in Atlanta.
I will say, I'll be completely honest, maybe this is a confession. If I could get rid of the text that I get from me by sending them to you, I'd do it.
Oh, for sure.
I'd throw you under that bus. I apologize.
Oh, man.
And I've opted out and blocked.
Yeah,
I stopped. It's no good. It's no good.
It doesn't work.
It do not work.
Sometimes I wish that I could opt out of these particular texts, although it's not with any malice for the people that are sending it, because I understand where it comes from. But on the 5 Hour Energy fan line from the 832, what's the time frame for the Christian Harris return? No earthly idea.
I'll let you know.
They haven't given us a larger general timeline. It's just been radio silence. And that's the thing that's kind of been weird about this Christian Harris thing, is that we just keep looking around and we're like, if it's not something like, I don't know, a major surgery that would have extended the timeline, I've got actually more fears as to what would be happening if it's not.
And that's a growing sentiment. That's a growing sentiment. I think the way they're playing this is certainly open to question. Because he was on the practice field. We know the story. On the practice field, goes off before practice is even over, and then we never see him again. And their company line is, we'll keep you updated, or we'll let you know, or whatever it is. Well, that leads to people speculating. That leads to people's imaginations going, well, is it something else? Nah, man, just be clear about it.
It's funny, too, because D'Amico, you can tell you get a little irritated when you keep getting the same question. You're like, guys, look, I know y'all want to know the update.
Yeah.
Guys, I'll let you know.
That was actually pretty good. You've been working on D'Amico?
Oh, very good, D'Amico.
I like that. We're gonna have to break that a little bit more.
Very good, D'Amico.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. You got to add a little chuckle in there, too.
Yeah, a little chuckle and a right.
We were working on something real good there.
I'm on every snap.
Limited
every
fake
snap.
D'Amico Ryans. I like that.
Yeah.
Another thing that I like, third baseman, technically a free agent, Alex Bregman. Will hit free agency now with a gold glove on his resume.
How about that?
He won the AL's gold glove for third base. Obviously, if you're not familiar, gold glove goes to the best player in each league in every position. It's his first time winning the award. He joins five-time winner Doug Rader. Am I saying that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Doug Rader.
Okay. From the 70-74 in the NL, obviously, when the Astros were on that side of things in baseball. They're the only two Astros third basemen to win the award. He beats out Ernie Clement of the Blue Jays and Jose Ramirez of the Guardians. And then
Ken Caminiti didn't win a gold glove?
Not according to what I'm seeing here.
I'd have bet money. I'd have bet a lot that Caminiti did. But I was also a little surprised that's just his first one. Weren't you? I mean, he's been automatic over there. Good timing.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
I do wonder what it does for the Astros.
Yeah.
That's actually really shocking. He haven't won one.
Yeah,
I thought he did, because that's the first thing people go to whenever they talk about Bregman is he's a good defensive third baseman.
Yeah,
and now you have an accolade to defend such a thing. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what this does for his market, as he's going towards free agency, and it seems like he will fully engage in that. It does not seem like we've gotten a lot of information on the possibility of that deal being done before like the fullness of free agency hits. General manager meetings, I believe, start later today. And I imagine that this is going to be a big thing on Dana Brown's plate, is trying to get him back to the Astros.
And the number is going to be the one. I mean, we were talking about it off air. You seem to be a little more inclined that it's doable. And I'm just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. That's a big number and a big number of years.
Yeah, I found it really interesting seeing the various kind of assumptions from other media folks a little bit closer to the Astros. Ari Alexander of KPRC2 yesterday put up some numbers on from some insiders.
Mm-hmm.
Eight insiders around baseball at various levels, right? Kind of asked them to give their projections on Alex Bregman, maybe numbers-wise or just where he will return to. Two of the insiders themselves just said Astros without giving numbers, but they seem to have confidence that he'll get there. While a lot of the numbers that were thrown out there, 6 for 180, 6 for 172, 6 for 150, 5 for 125 with a one-year option, 5 for 135, 7 for 175, all of those seem to be relatively around that high water or high bar of years.
Yeah.
With all of those, a lot of those numbers being feeling somewhat doable, largely doable. Obviously, you would still need to make some moves because you already have carried a lot of payroll thus far with the Astros. But those feel doable, especially when you consider what Alex Bregman is like in the clubhouse, what he means to the franchise as a whole. Mm-hmm. And then you add like this Gold Glove accolade points again to just how important he is defensively, because your infield has had some defensive issues.
Yeah, look, I those numbers maybe are doable. There are some huge contracts coming down the pike that that would maybe affect that. But here's where I think it gets
Fromber and Tucker are the big contract. Well, and both of those guys, if you do want to retain him, or maybe even if you don't, exist as guys that you might have to consider moving in order to help facilitate, you know, the payroll being better situated, and also to facilitate maybe giving yourself some young talent to filter into the program, as notoriously this farm system is a little bit light, to say the least.
Everyone wants Bregman back. What I found interesting about those numbers that Ari put together from his work is they all kind of hover around 6 years. That's because the Astros don't give long contracts. 5-6 years is about the most you can expect from the Astros in terms of an offer. I just know baseball, and baseball is very dumb when it comes to overpaying players or perceived overpaying players. Someone's going to give them 7 or 8 years, and I think that might be the biggest hurdle of all for the Astros. They're not going to do 7 or 8 years. Someone will.
But we'll see how much that matters. I know we typically think as he's a Scott Boras client that Scott Boras is just going to extract only big money.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been instances where players have kind of returned to their teams on deals that were still good, right? It's not like he's going to get a bad deal, but relatively reasonable.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how that plays out. As I mentioned, general manager meetings are getting going today in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting to see if we get more news that comes out of that. Some more things that are popping. The Rockets play tonight at Toyota Center versus the Knicks. Interesting weekend for them. They get a big-time win against the Dallas Mavericks with a lot of the athleticism and youth, you know, getting boards and stuff. And then they fall to Golden State at home without Steph Curry. It was a lot of, like, Buddy Hield and that type of stuff happening. But Alper Şengün had, you know, a little bit of a slow start, continues, not a lot of minutes, particularly in the Golden State Warriors game. And apparently, there's reason for the coach to call into question some of his conditioning.
Gotta find a rhythm for sure. I mean, we're moving around a little bit. Obviously, Ray's really good in the pocket. You know, he's had decent looks there. And the teams are going after him in the post sometimes, but you like him on the elbow isos also. But a rhythm, and you know, whether it's getting himself into shape to play, you know, early season, it might be part of it, but. Sometimes that point blank, you know, misses that he didn't have as much last year. And so continue to work with them and get him the right looks. And obviously he'll snap out of that because the quality looks are too good. And he's not going to continue to miss those.
That was one of those moments where I went, wait, what? What did he just say? Because he was talking about, like, he was almost, like, he was trying to give a, you know, a reasonable answer.
And you said, what did you just say? Because Ime was speaking under his voice, right?
Yeah,
That's one of the things that's going to be real tough is playing Ime audio.
Yeah.
Because Ime is like, I'm going to say this so you can hear it, but only just barely.
But only if you pay attention. Because he's like, well, maybe rhythm this, getting him some good looks that. Maybe he needs to be in good, better shape. I was like, wait, what? Like, to start the season. So, like, right in the middle there, he just dropped a little bit of a bomb, you know, like basically saying the guy's not in shape.
And look, I do have a great appreciation that even though the Rockets have paid Alper and Şengün, and it seems like it's very abundantly clear that they want to play through him a good amount, that the head coach of your team, Ime Udoka, is not unwilling to play the guys that are playing well and not play the guys that are not in the instances that they need to. Right? Alper and Şengün has had a couple of situations where it's like 21 minutes or what have you on the stat.
I thought it was revealing. I think we know now. I don't think the head coach thinks he's in good enough shape. He just kind of dropped it in there.
Now, he did also come back around and say, look, he's not knocking down shots that he will, and that's not going to continue. So there's still clearly a level of confidence. But I appreciate it. Udoka is like, look, man, You got to play up to
the right
standard.
I don't care how much money you're making.
It's got to be the right standard.
Yeah.
281 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line makes mention that Ken Caminiti won 3 gold gloves with the Padres.
Okay.
So just not with your Astros. And then finally, real quick, one of the things that's popping. We'll get into more college football tomorrow when we do college football on a Tuesday. But shout out to both Rice and Houston getting college football upsets. Rice upsetting Navy, giving them their first loss in conference. And then Houston knocking off my Kansas State Wildcats. They're starting to find a little bit of something. They have 3 wins now in conference and on the season. Got some work to do to get bowl eligible, but Houston definitely finding some defense as well. Like, that seems to be, if anything, if any calling card exists, a little bit of what they're doing under Willie Fritz in year one.
I mean, you can't call them signature wins, but clearly those were the 2 biggest wins, you know, that the Cougs and the Owls got. I mean, beating Navy is bigger than U of H beating Kansas State.
I agree.
You know, I feel.
Especially first with the first game on the
interim coach.
Yeah.
And getting it done with an undefeated squad that's been really putting up big points and all that. So those are 2 big
wins. Well, they had 1 loss, 1 undefeated in conference at the
time. Undefeated, right.
So there you go. That's what's popping. James Franklin escapes our wrath for this moment. We'll circle back around to you tomorrow, buddy. Bald head.
We know what you did.
You will still pay for your crimes. You will still pay for your
That's
crimes.
That's like that parent. Oh, you still getting a whoop.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when.
Don't think because
it's happening.
Don't think because we in public now that you're not going to get that whoop.
Oh, I'm still going to whoop your ass.
Wait till we get home, James Franklin. All right.
Yeah.
In the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. This offensive line clearly is a big issue for the Texans, and we're really hoping that a trade can be made to address it. But look, as Figgy has said, it's not just one trade that's going to fix this all. So what can be done to make this offensive line tenable? I think I have some things that we can look at, and we'll discuss that next.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.